Well, in Mark's gospel reading this morning, what we find that Jesus, we find him healing a woman who has suffered for 12 years. We see Jesus bringing a 12-year-old girl back to life. And by the way, it's significant in the end of it when he said, give her something to eat. You know why that would be obvious, right? What that's saying is you give her something to eat. Now, ghosts don't eat, so people would have to know that she was back to the living because she could take in food. But anyway, the lesson seems to center on healing, doesn't it? Well, there is healing, and then there is wholeness, wholeness healing. By wholeness, I mean a healing from within as well as the physical healing. And by wholeness, I mean, again, it's a special healing on beyond just the physical healing. A complete healing requires faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and also as the way to the Father. The woman had faith in Jesus as a healer, but thought of the healing power as a magical power, and that by merely touching his garment, she would be healed. It wasn't until Jesus called her out on it, that she was told it was her faith that had healed her. She had to admit it was she who touched him. She had to risk the consequences of being a woman who violated Jewish law by touching a man while she was unclean. This woman was suffering from a continuous hemorrhaging, which by law meant that she was ceremonially or ritually unclean, and that she would make anyone she touched unceremoniously or ritualistically unclean. And she could have been stoned. She could have been stoned to death for even going into a crowd without shouting, unclean, unclean. She had to acknowledge that Jesus was the Lord, and then that she was healed completely, not just physically, but spiritually. Her faith in Christ healed her. And Jesus showed the woman that her cure was not a magical outflowing of divine grace, but that the full blessing of faith results only when a believer openly confesses Jesus as the Savior. Now, Jairus had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter, but he believed that Jesus had to actually be present with the daughter and actually touch her before she could be healed. Now, it's not in our readings, but there's an example in Luke 7 about a centurion who had a servant who was dying and sent word to Jesus asking him to heal the servant. And when Jesus was close to the house, the centurion sent word to Jesus, saying to Jesus, he, the centurion, was not worthy to have the Lord enter his house, but if he would only say the word, and the servant would be healed. So here we have a Gentile, a Roman soldier to that effect, who had enough faith in Jesus that he knew it only took the word of the Lord to effect the cure. Now, Jairus, through the Lord, had to touch his daughter, and his faith was tested by the delay when Jesus stopped to heal the woman. You see, it was tested by the message that his daughter was dead, and why bother the teacher? His faith was rewarded with the healing of his daughter when Jesus had said to him, fear not, only believe. Well, so how do we understand healing? Is healing what we see on television with the TV evangelists knocking someone on the head and telling the person you're healed? I've had visions of a televangelist walking across the stage with people lined up in a neat row. And as he passes, popping them on the forehead, and saying to them, you are healed. Now, I'm not truly making fun of TV evangelists, maybe a little. But here's my thought. What happens if the catcher doesn't catch them? Are they healed a second time after the fall? And if they don't fall backwards on the first pop, how many times can he pop them? Is there a limit to the number of pops? You're healed. Well, there's a story of a man who had a dog but couldn't train the animal, and he mentioned it to a friend who happened to be a televangelist who said that he could train the dog. And so the man left his dog with the televangelist, and then a week later, the man went to pick up his dog, and the televangelist showed him how much success he'd had with the training. He threw a stick and told the dog to fetch, and the dog gathered up the stick and brought it back to the preacher, who then told the dog to give, and the dog gave a stick to the preacher. And next he said, roll over, and the dog obeyed and responded and rolled over. And the man was so impressed that he asked if he could try a command. Now, don't get ahead of me. So he spoke to his dog, and he said, heal. The dog immediately put the paw on the man's forehead and said, you are healed. Well, do I believe in healing? Absolutely, I believe in healing. If you don't trust me on that, we all were here when we thought we were going to lose Tish a year ago. And you can't tell me that it wasn't the magnitude, just the volume of prayers that had an effect on that. We have parishioners who have been healed. I have personal experience with folks in my career, in my lifetime, that have been healed. So I do believe in them. Do I believe in TV evangelists? Well, I got to qualify that. Billy Graham, I love him to death. And I'm not, I took some shots at televangelists, but they're probably much more knowledgeable than I am in this. But in any event, I did say a few minutes that there's healing and that there is wholeness healing. And in the Old Testament, Yahweh is revealed as the healer, both in word and actions. And he declared to the Israelites, I am the Lord who heals you. His healing work can variously result in physical and material well-being. It can result in forgiveness and in forthcoming deliverance. In 2 Kings, if we were to read that, there's an account of King Hezekiah's illness and recovery, and it shows God to be the source of all true healing, whether by direct intervention or even by medical means. In the New Testament, healing is a major part of Christ's mission in a needy world, and nearly one-fifth of the gospel record is taken up with the incidents and debates surrounding the Lord's healings. And in 3 of the 4 Gospels, we read how Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. In Matthew, we read how Jesus had compassion on the people and healed their sick. Now, concerning this term compassion, Henri Nouwen, who happens to be one of my favorite theologians and authors, or was before he went home to heaven. But Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healers. And he considered all Christians as wounded healers who have compassion. And he explained this, and he wrote, compassion is not pity. Pity lets us stay at a distance. It's condescending. Compassion is not sympathy. Sympathy is for superiors over inferiors. Compassion is not charity. Charity is for the rich to continue in their status over the poor. Compassion is born of God. It means entering into other persons' problems. It means taking on the burdens of others. It means standing in the other person's shoes. It is the humanizing way to deal with people. This is the compassion that we need to show others. We need healing of all sorts. Maybe it's a physical healing, and we have members in this parish definitely in need of physical healing. We have healing services every other Thursday right outside for those who need healing or know of somebody who does. And the parish is so quick to respond to the needs of others. You guys are amazing. Just as the Lord was so quick to help lepers, the blind, and cripples and others, you guys are right on top of it to help when you're called on. And the physical healing is just that. It's a physical healing which is not complete until we recognize the source of the healing. And that would be our Lord and Savior. It's not the televangelist that heals. It's not me that heals. It's not any of us that heal. It's the power of God flowing through the person that he's appointed to be the instrument of that healing. I wonder, though, how alert are we to the need for spiritual or emotional healing? Are we as quick to see the painful needs of others who are experiencing emotional issues? Maybe it's something within us and not others. Maybe each of us experience a need within our own spiritual or relational life. And I can stand in front of you, and I can admit that I have gone through moments when I had to call on all the faith that I could muster to deal with my own demons. Personal issues in my life that caused me pain and need healing that only can come from the Lord. I faced questions in my mind that even challenged my pursuit of the priesthood. And there were times when I wanted to quit, times when I felt unworthy, and those who loved me kept me strong, and the grace of the Father helped me through these times. And I can talk, what's going on in your life? Is there something going on in your life that you need to confront and seek the healing power of the Lord? You see, we each need to take time to examine our life. And what part of your spiritual or relational life is barely breathing? Can we find ways to make those areas of our family and friendship and faith a higher priority than career and income? Phyllis and I were going out to dinner the other night, and my phone rang, and it was one of my grandsons who was just 31 years old. And we hadn't talked in a couple of months. He was returning my call from April, as a matter of fact. He said, "I'm sorry, Grandpa, I've been a little busy." I said, "I understand." But he just had a breakup. His girlfriend of 2 years left him, and he was just kind of really down and talking. But what we talked about was the fact that we need to get together. And then the excuses started. He says, "Well, you know, Grandpa, I work every night and I try to sleep during, I just don't have much time." I said, "I understand. I'm at the church 5 days a week and I'm not getting much rest either. You got to stop that." And if you don't believe that, ask any survivors from that condo down in Miami. Life is short. We need to prioritize, and we need to make that priority our family and our friends. We need to take time to spend it with our family while we're here. You see, before scheduling anything else, we need to book time with God. We need to schedule an appointment with those in our family. Then, after prioritizing God and our family, then set up the rest of your week. And so we pray for healing for ourselves and others. We need to remember that the healing to be complete has to include acceptance that Jesus is Lord and is our salvation. And perhaps the healing won't happen the way we want. Maybe our physical ailments will not be medically healed. Perhaps broken hearts will not be mended. Perhaps relational trauma will not be resolved. And perhaps the healing we will receive will be an acceptance of that which we can no longer control. God always answers prayers, just not always in the way we want, but always in the way that we need, and always in His time. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, who is a strong tower to all who put their trust in Him, to whom all things in heaven and earth and under the earth bow and obey, be now and evermore your defense, and make you know and feel the only name under heaven given for health and salvation is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.